find the hope, yeah. Gotta let him know. For the hope that lies in you. Gotta let him know. Gotta let him know. To be ready to give an answer. Gotta let him know. And answer for the hope, yeah.
Welcome to Giving an Answer, the show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. I am your host, H.C. Felder, and today the topic is Christianity Under Communism, the personal testimony of Gabriella Henson. And as a guest, I have Gabriella Henson. And let me tell you about Gabriella. She grew up in Romania under communism. She has a bachelor's in psychology with minor in sociology from Mississippi College. She has a master in clinical psychology from Wheaton College. She taught high school Bible and psychology in Atlanta. She currently works for the Christian Adoption Services in Matthews here in North Carolina. And she's passionate about promoting adoption as an alternative to unplanned pregnancies. Welcome to the show, Gabriella.
Thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
All right, what did I leave out?
I have an amazing husband and a 2-month-old little baby.
You know what? I just gotta say, I invite the men on my show all the time. I say maybe I've had 3 women guests. The men, I always have to remind them to talk about their wives. I don't have to say that with the women. Y'all just do it. Y'all just so much better.
Not my husband. My husband mentioned me.
Oh, he so did? Okay, he was
one
an exception
of the
to the
exceptions.
Rules.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an amazing. That's why I said he's an amazing husband.
Yes, he was on my show as well. He's a great guy. He talked about Buddhism, and we did a bunch of shows. And your husband's a great guy. And talking to him, I learned about you and your testimony, so I decided to invite you on to tell my audience about growing up as a Christian under communism. So, Gabriella, let's hear your testimony.
Mm-hmm. So, like you said, I grew up under communism in Romania. Until I was 15, Romania was communist. And looking back at communism, one of the things that stands out to me the most is just how isolated we were as a country. We were behind what the Western world used to call the Iron Curtain, and not many foreigners ventured in Romania. Romanians were not allowed to travel, and all the information that we were exposed to was censored by the communist government. So we only had one TV channel, made it easier for them to censor.
One TV channel?
One TV channel, and it only aired 2 hours a day during the weekdays from 8 to 10 o'clock at night. Most of it communist propaganda, and on weekends it was a little bit longer. But that kind of made it easier for them to control all the information we're exposed to.
I can't even imagine that. I mean, I have a TV with 100 channels, and sometimes there's nothing on 100 channels. I can't imagine what it would be like to have only one channel.
Tell me about it.
But if you don't know any better, if you don't know any different, then yes. You know, you don't realize you're missing anything, so.
That's the truth. So it was easy for the communists to kind of control all the information that we were exposed to, censor it. And they really wanted us to think that we lived in a paradise world, that Romania was the best country on earth, while the Western world was confronted with all these other problems. They would talk about the violence, about the crime. They would talk about the substance abuse, drug addictions, about pollution, AIDS, anything that would make the West look bad. Now, among us, the normal people, we knew that that's not the truth.
And how did y'all know that?
There are stories from other people. People had fled across the border in trying to find a better life, so they immigrated to Germany or immigrated to the United States. And there were stories that we would hear about how wonderful life was in the United States. In fact, the United States was viewed as the promised land by a lot of Romanians. It was the land that flows with milk and honey. And a lot of people risk their lives in trying to make it here, knowing that it's a better life. Economically, Romania was very poor, and it didn't always used to be the case. In 1938, and you'll be surprised to hear this, Romania was actually considered the breadbasket of Europe, and it was one of the top richest European nations. That changed with World War II and then communism. Our economy was devastated. So when I was growing up.
Now you said with World War II and communism. So are you saying, now I'm just showing my ignorance here of world history. It wasn't communist before World War II, is what you're saying? Romania was not communist before
World
War II?
No, Romania was not communist before World War II. Romania became communist in 1945. So right at the end of World War II, people were desperate and they were looking for hope. The communists came and they promised that they would give people a better future. And as soon as they were elected into power, they kind of dropped their masks. So things changed and the reality became horrific, but it was a little bit too late for people to change their minds about what they really wanted. And
what were some of the things that happened when communism took over? Some of the horrific things that you mentioned.
Well, for one thing, Christianity started to, Christians didn't have freedom anymore. And I didn't experience the worst persecution of Christianity, but if you read books written by Richard von Brandt, who wrote the, and described what happened in, during communism, as communism took over, he'll describe the horrific experiences of Christians, how they were arrested and they would be put in prisons and tortured. And the tortures they had were horrible. They he talks about Christians being placed in freezers and being kept there until they're almost at the point of death, then being pulled out. And then when they were revived, they would be put back in the freezer, or they would place them in these boxes that were small, just enough for their body to fit in there, and there were sharp nails all throughout the box. And if you move there, and of course, after sitting for a while, you just want to stretch or you want to move, the nails would just pierce their flesh. Just horrible experiences. So, by the time I remember, the economy of Romania, I just heard that Romania used to be richer. That's not what I experienced growing up. My parents didn't have the experiences of American parents that have to take candy away from their children or snacks. We were not picky eaters because we didn't have much to choose from. Most of our food was rationed. We could only buy a certain quantity. So you could only buy so much milk and so much flour and so much oil and so many eggs per month. And a lot of times you had to wait in long, long lines to do so. Now, when you got to the end of the line, you weren't always guaranteed that you would still, they would still have something for you. And the quality of the products weren't always guaranteed. So many times I waited in long lines to buy bread, and at the end of the line, there was a hard rock loaf of sourdough. And I to explain it best for you what it was like is, imagine going to the grocery store, and you go to your deli product section, and you look there because you want to buy some ham for your sandwiches, and there's absolutely nothing, just empty shelves, nothing there. So food was scarce in Romania. Vegetables and fruits were almost non-existent. And along with the food being rationed, the electricity was also rationed. During the winter especially, the power would be cut off to conserve energy in our country. And I always hated it because in the winter, it gets dark early, and you need your light on, right? And I was always so afraid that I would get trapped in an elevator and it would be pitch dark, or on the streets of Târgu Mureș and I would have to try to find my way home. Here, when the power goes off, you have the emergency lights, but right there it would just be pitch black.
So it would just go out randomly?
It would just go out randomly. It didn't go every day, so you could never predict when it would happen. It would always happen at the time you most needed your power, though, and because that's when you would conserve the most.
And how long would it be out?
Usually it would be out for the rest of the evening or just for a few hours. And then the
what
next...
What about if you had, like... Well, I was about to say, what if you had a lot of food in the refrigerator, but I guess that wasn't the case, huh?
It wasn't the case, and it didn't matter. Your refrigerator would have to deal with... You would just have to deal with it. They didn't take into consideration. Their main goal was to conserve energy, and that's how they would do it. They would just turn the power off. Wow. Water was also, we didn't always have water. Warm water was a luxury for a lot of Romanians. During the winter, our apartments were kept at 50 degrees average, so it was very cold. Meanwhile, our president was extremely rich. He had several palaces full of the most expensive of things. And in every city, he had a house, a vacation house, just wealthy as he could be. But of course, you couldn't criticize him because we didn't have freedom of speech. And if you said something to someone, you never knew if they were working for the secret police or not. After the communism fell, I read actually that about 1 in 4 people were working for the secret police.
Did they try to justify him living in all these houses and having all this money? Did they try to explain that away, or you just... You just never talked about it, so you know, it was taboo to even breach the subject.
Never talked about it. You could not touch that subject. And the truth is, a lot of it we didn't know. We didn't know what was in his palace. We knew that he has villas or really, really nice homes in every city, but we didn't know everything about how wealthy he was. And you just couldn't touch him. He was the president. So spiritually, Romania was poor also. I was very fortunate. I consider myself very fortunate to have been raised by a Christian family, because evangelical or born-again Christians in Romania make the less than 1%. So I was very lucky to be raised by two Christian parents.
Was Christianity, I mean, how was it? Were you legally allowed to be Christians?
No, you weren't really legally allowed to be Christians. And I'll get to that in a little bit.
Okay.
They tried to suppress the church. They used some of the churches, especially the Orthodox Church. The communists used them to kind of keep track of who's going to church and what's going on.
So there was
a church. But communists were atheists, so they tried to, there was a church. Communists are atheists, so they tried to enforce atheism. And they tried to do away with anything that has to do with God from the culture. So for instance, I remember in Romania, very seldom, but we would have American movies on our one TV channel. And if the word God happened to be mentioned, they would not translate the word God as God. Even if he was in an expression such as, oh my God, it would be translated as sky. So the expression would become, oh my sky. We had no TV programs that were Christian. In fact, the first time that I heard the word God on television was when communism fell. Right at the start of the revolution.
Wow.
We had no TV stations that were Christians. We had no radio, nothing to do with God in our culture. It was just they tried to do away with everything. And in fact, they also taught the people to despise God and to look down on people who were born again Christians.
How did they do that?
They made it seem that to be a Christian was equivalent to being weird, being uneducated. That anybody who claimed that God existed was unintelligent, basically.
Did they teach you this in school?
People bought into that. They taught atheism in school, they taught evolution in school, and any mention of God pretty much throughout our culture. They had a book called the Comical Bible. You could not find Bibles in Romania anywhere, but you could find the Comical Bible, which made fun of the Bible. Made fun of the creation story and anything that had to do with God. So it was just kind of a brainwashing that took place over time, and also people never hearing about God anywhere. My dad, the only Bibles we had in Romania were Bibles that had been smuggled into the country. My own dad participated in an operation like that, and it's very interesting because right as the English missionaries who had brought the Bible left our house, my dad was going to store the Bibles in our garage, and right as the missionary left our house, the secret police came and arrested my father. He had one of his friends, he was a Reformed priest, he was helping my dad store the Bibles, and both of them were going to distribute them later, but they didn't get a chance to because the secret police was there immediately, and we think one of our neighbors was actually a secret police informer, saw something that was going on and decided to call the police and arrested my dad. The neat thing though, and this is kind of showing how God works through difficult circumstances, when my father was in prison, his guard asked my father if he could have a Bible. My dad was so excited. He thought, sure, you know, he knew that the Bibles that had been confiscated would probably be destroyed. So he said, sure, take as many as you want, give them to your friends, your neighbors, whoever you want to. Years later, after communism fell, my father ran into his guard and he had become a Christian. So it's just interesting to see how God uses circumstances, difficult circumstances like that.
How long was your father in prison?
He wasn't in prison too long. It was during the interrogation process, they threatened to kill him, trying to get information about who brought the Bibles and who was he going to give them to. But they let him free, and he just had to pay a fine. So we were fortunate from that perspective. But I remember my dad all the time. The secret police would always try to find about his whereabouts, find out about where he was, and they would call our house. And I was always scared for my dad, but my dad was such a brave man, so he was never afraid. The communists actually offered him a promotion at his job if he would forsake his faith. And of course, my dad said no. And it was just, well, that's one of my favorite parts about having grown on, grown up under communism, just watching my father be a Christian and be a brave Christian. And I remember him talking about how he smuggled Bibles into Russia. And he was so amazed that the patrol at the border didn't find the Bibles. He was just an incredible man. He helped start the church I grew up in. We had an underground church, so to say. My father, when he moved to my city, he started attending a Hungarian Baptist church. He grew up as a Baptist, and he grew up in a very small, remote village where they were protected from the Christian, from the secret police. So a Christian community started flourishing there. My dad became a Christian. He later moved to my hometown, where he couldn't attend a Romanian Baptist church because there wasn't one. So he would go with my mom to the Hungarian Baptist church, but they couldn't understand anything. So they would sit there and just listen. Found out that there were a couple of other Romanian families in the congregation. And the group of people, of Romanians at that church, decided, you know what, why don't we go ahead and open our church? Mm. They talked to the pastor and asked him, would you be willing to be our pastors as well if we open a Romanian Baptist church? Pastor agreed. They tried to get permission from the government to open a church, and of course he wasn't granted. And they said, you know what, we'll still open one. They bought a house, and they made the inside of the house look like a church. They had pews and pulpit and choir section. The outside looked just like a regular house in the neighborhood. And God really blessed that church. It grew to be about 200 people, and it was a very pure, very united church. I never understood until after communism fell just how wonderful our church was. And I remember every once in a while we would have missionaries come from overseas to visit us, and they would be so amazed at people's fervent prayers under communism and just how united the church was. And I couldn't understand that until after communism fell, because the communism really and the persecution really filtered all the people who were uncommitted. And only the people who were committed stayed there. I became a Christian because I was raised in church. So it was a nice experience for me. And, you know, I have to admit that many times I did wonder, you know, are my parents right? Everybody else says there's not a God. And I know a handful of people who believe in God and are passionate about God, but are they right? Everybody else in Romania says there's not a God.
Yeah.
And I questioned at times, but I just could not imagine how everything we see around us, the beauty of creation and the complexity of design, how everything that's around us could just have arrived here out of nothing, and that it just didn't have a purpose. So I became a Christian at a young age, and followed in my parents' footsteps.
All right.
Now, as I came to the United States, I wanted to tell you a little bit about that, because I feel like that is connected to me being raised under communism. Under communism, we didn't have Christian schools. In fact, teachers were not allowed to teach if they were Christian. And in school, we had times when the teachers would ask us, if we were Christian, to stand up in front of all our classmates. It was a form of the communist government keeping track of who was a Christian and who was not, and also a form of ridicule. Yeah. They had a specific terms for us in Romania, for Christians. We were called pocăiți, which means ones who have repented, which if you're a Christian, that's a good term. Somebody
right.
who has repented is good.
Right.
But it had gained a very derogatory meaning in Romania, and it was used as a mockery term. Most people probably didn't really know what that meant, but they knew that that's used for Christians, and we had people calling us that.
Was it just Christians that were singled out, or was it Muslims or Buddhists, or was it just Christians?
It was just Christians. We didn't really have many Muslims in Romania. We had Orthodox Christianity, we had atheists, and then we had a very small percentage of Protestants. Less than 1% of people were Protestants. Other religions we really didn't have there. And they singled out mostly the evangelical Christians. To be an Orthodox Christian, it wasn't so unusual. But to be a Baptist or to be a Pentecostal or any other denomination was unusual. So you were pretty much singled out. And that's what they wanted to keep track of.
Now, what was the big difference between, in Romania's eyes or in the government's eyes, between the Orthodox and, say, for instance, like the Pentecostals or the Protestants, you know, Orthodox from the Protestants?
Truth is, Orthodox Christians are not very committed to their faith. It's a very traditional Christianity. People think that if you're born in an Orthodox family, you are a Christian. They don't truly understand the gospel. So the people weren't very committed to their faith. They wouldn't go to church, but, you know, Christmas and Easter. So the Orthodox Church was not really a threat to them. People who are born again Christians, their loyalty laid with God, not with right. the communist government. Right. So the communists didn't like that too much. They had to fight any belief system that opposed their having the loyalty of the people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, but back to my story of how I arrived in the United States, I wanted to study in a Christian school. We didn't have Christian schools. I had an American missionary who spoke to me about what it would be like to study in a Christian school, and it became my impossible dream. All my friends and family said, you know, Gabriella, your dream is never going to come true. And my dream was very difficult to accomplish for a variety of reasons. Number one, I just didn't know how to apply. Think about it. If I told you, okay, why don't you go to Greece and study there? Right. You begin wondering, well, wow, how am I going to go there? What school?
Yeah.
Where do you begin? What do I need to take certain tasks that they have there? How do I do this? And today it's a lot easier because you can turn on the internet and find out a lot of information. But for me, it wasn't like that. So I didn't even know where to begin. Number two, financially was a very difficult situation. Because my father only had $50 a month for me to come to a Christian school in the United States and study at in a private school. It would have been so expensive, there's just no way I could have been able to afford it. And number three, I needed to obtain a visa. And even after communism fell, if in Romania, if you wanted to leave to visit a Western country, it was very, very unlikely to obtain a visa, especially if you're young and single. Because in their eyes, it translated as this person doesn't have anything to hold them back. They're going to go to the United States and never come back.
Right.
So I knew my chances were extremely slim. But I decided to pray about it. My mom is just the biggest prayer warrior. And I remember so many times when I was young and I would go and I would see her pray and she would just pray and I would go on the bed and lay and look at her mouth moving as she was praying. She taught me that prayer works and that with God, the impossible doesn't have to be impossible. So I decided to bring my dream before God in prayer. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And a year after I graduated high school, just as I was ready to give up hope, thinking, okay, here we go. It's not going to happen like everybody said that it would go. You know, my impossible dream is not going to come true. Just as that started to seep into my head, I realized that God was beginning to do something incredible. And it happened at a camp. I was with a group of Americans at a Christian camp, and one of the girls there told me that if I was interested in coming to the United States to study, she could talk to her father and they could raise the money for me to come to the United States. And I was so amazed because she just came to me out of the blue. Wow. Saying, Gabriella, would you be interested in studying in the United States? And I thought, why me? Why did she choose me?
Right.
But it was God beginning to do that incredible process. My friend Elizabeth Arnold came to the United States, spoke to her father, and they began raising money for my education. And a year later, they came to Romania, and they told me, you know, we only have the money for 1 year. We were planning on having the money for 2 years before we bring you over, so let's delay the process longer. And I was so disappointed. I thought, how could this happen? My dream is not going to come true.
Yeah.
However, they decided to go ahead. At the end of their visit, they decided to go ahead and proceed with the paperwork and bring me over. Meanwhile, they had helped me apply at a Christian school close to where they lived. They helped me with the entire application process. So I was accepted at Mississippi College, and I had the money for the first year. I still had to obtain a visa. And I remember that day when I went to the embassy in Bucharest, there was a long line of people waiting to get their visas, and I knew my chances were so slim. I finally got to the front, and I started being interviewed by an American officer. Few minutes later, she looked at me and she said, young lady, I'm afraid you're not going to see United States. And I just saw my entire dream just crash on the floor there.
Right.
And after she said that, a guy who was working next to her, interviewing another person, asked her a question. They started chatting, and that was my time to let go and say, God, maybe this is just my selfish dream. Maybe this is not your desire for me.
Right.
So I decided that I would pray, and I prayed, and I said, God, if this is not your dream, I don't want to go. But if this is your dream for me, you alone can intervene. She turned around, didn't ask me one single question. She looked at my papers again and she said, "I hope you enjoy Mississippi and the people there." And wow. I just could not believe my ears. I could not believe that she actually said that.
Wow.
Took my passport, and half an hour later, they gave it to me from a different office, flipped the pages, and when I saw my visa for the United States, I finally believed, wow, this is incredible. God has accomplished such an incredible thing. And over $100,000 had been raised for me to come here. To,
how much?
$100,000 for my master's program.
Where did this come from?
I'm telling you, God, it's just my impossible dream. My undergraduate program, I had my master's at Wheaton College. And
which is a
then
good school,
I also,
by the way.
Oh, it's a great school. And focus on the family also. So I had the privilege to attend three Christian schools, which was incredible for me. But it's just, it's amazing how God worked and how he accomplished my impossible dream. And when I arrived at Mississippi College, after I got my visa, 10 days later, I was on a plane coming to the United States. And when I arrived at Mississippi College, I cried when they started orientation with a prayer because I thought, wow, this is what I came here for.
Yeah.
I would have never experienced something like that in my school, you know, to study under Christian professors, to start orientation with prayer. And it's just incredible how God's worked. So he accomplished my impossible dream. And just like it says in Ephesians 3:20, God is able to accomplish more than you can think or imagine or dream, I like to add.
Absolutely.
According to his power.
That is a great note to end on. That was a great testimony. Gabriella Hansen, I want to just thank you very much for being on the show. The topic today was Christianity and the Communism, the personal testimony of my special guest here, Gabriella Hennison. So that will end this episode of Giving an Answer. Be sure to join me again next time. And until then, goodbye and God bless. Then lies in your